fog-free UV light,
mm-hmm.
ponytail, portal for your hair.
Ooh.
And it's something new, hot for the summer for the kids who want to go swimming in the water, and they don't have to have the chlorine burn their eyes or
yeah.
the salt water,
yep.
you know.
Yep. Yep.
They're coming up with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, kids love to do that. They love to go and see under the water, but unless you get used to that, they come out and they start complaining about their red eyes and their and the
yep.
salt.
So. Yeah, so it's something to think about. And then they also have come out with this new snorkeling mask.
Mm-hmm.
That is almost covers your entire face.
I've seen that, yes.
And you don't have to have it sticking out of the water to breathe.
Yes.
Oh,
I
couldn't believe it. I said, I'm tempted to try that when I get to the next place.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's appropriate for me to address that in a public session.
Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats testifying before Congress today regarding his conversations with President Trump. Coats said he would not reveal any details of those conversations in open sessions. Coats did say, however, he never felt pressured by the president regarding the Russia investigations.
I have never been pressured. I have never felt pressure to intervene or interfere in any way and shaping intelligence in a political way.
The death toll in the London terrorist attack rising by one. It appears that 8 people were now killed in Saturday night's attack. Authorities recovered a body from the Thames River. They say it may be that of a 45-year-old Frenchman who went missing since the terrorist attack. He and his
go down in the sub.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like the underwater subs that they take people to bop around in.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's appropriate for me to address that in a public session.
Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats testifying before Congress today regarding his conversations with President Trump. Coats said he would not reveal any details of those conversations in open sessions. Coats did say, however, he never felt pressured by the president regarding the Russia investigations.
I have never been pressured. I have never felt pressure to intervene or interfere in any way and shaping intelligence in a political way.
The death toll in the London terrorist attack rising by one. It appears that 8 people were now killed in Saturday night's attack. Authorities recovered a body from the Thames River. They say it may be that of a 45-year-old Frenchman who went missing since the terrorist attack. He and his girlfriend were on the bridge when 3 men drove a van into pedestrians before jumping out and stabbing people. USA Radio News.
How to care for baby skin. One of America's top pediatric dermatologists, Dr. Jody Levine.
Avoid long baths and use warm water, not too hot. Use gentle, baby-specific cleansers, and for babies with dry and sensitive skin, moisturize twice a day with a cream that contains ceramides or with an ointment.
And when it comes to clothing,
pick the right fabrics. Dress your baby in light and comfortable clothes. It's also a good idea to pre-wash clothes prior to wear in a separate wash from the rest of the families with a hypoallergenic and gentle baby detergent such as Dreft Pure Touch, created by the number one pediatrician recommended baby detergent brand. Pure Touch is 65% plant-based and made from naturally derived ingredients.
And what about sun protection?
For babies younger than 6 months, you should avoid direct sunlight, especially between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Sunscreen is recommended for infants older than 6 months of age. Choose a broad-spectrum physical blocker, SPF 30 or higher. For more info, check out dreft.com.
President Trump announcing his pick to be the new head of the FBI.
President Trump made the announcement on Twitter this morning saying, "I will be nominating Christopher A. Wray, a man of impeccable credentials, to be the new director of the FBI. Wray is a former U.S. Assistant Attorney General who represented New Jersey Governor Chris Christie during the so-called Bridgegate scandal. He's also a partner with the King and Spalding International Law Firm." The announcement comes a day before former FBI Director James Comey is scheduled to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Despite claims by Islamic terrorist group ISIS that they carried out the attacks, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is blaming Saudi Arabia for the attack that killed 12 people and injured dozens more in Tehran. Gunmen dressed as women opened fire inside the Iranian parliament building before detonating a suicide bomb. Police say they exchanged fire with militants for hours before the bomb went off. At the same time, a similar attack took place at the shrine of the Islamic Republic's founder, the late Ayatollah Khomeini. All 6 attackers killed. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root, and I take care of my own health. That's why I subscribe to Life Extension Magazine. And now you could do the same for free. Life Extension Magazine is the ultimate source for health. Every issue is jam-packed with the latest therapies and innovative treatment protocols. And now you could take charge of your own health. My listeners could get a free 6-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. Just call toll-free 855-870-6622. That's 855-870-6622. Or go to lifeextension.com/war.
Members of the Syrian Military Alliance say they're going to strike against U.S. troops. Here's Bill Zinfer.
Those forces say they will hit U.S. positions after U.S. airstrikes on Iranian-backed fighters who posed a threat to U.S. forces in Syria. The pro-Assad Military Alliance says it will put to an end its self-restraint if Washington crosses red lines. They said such attacks could be carried out with different missile and military systems.
Voters in New Jersey last night picked their candidates to replace Chris Christie as governor. Here's more on that story from Scott Pringle.
Kim Guadagno beat out four others easily. In her victory speech, the lieutenant governor, who hails from Monmouth County, promises if she does not cut property taxes, she won't run for a second term.
I'm running for governor based on my values, based on my record.
Her Democratic opponent, former Wall Street executive Phil Murphy, won easily as well. He promises to fully fund public schools and take on President Trump.
It is time for a governor who has your back. I will be that governor. Thank you all very much.
Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
The trial of a woman accused of convincing her boyfriend to kill himself underway in Massachusetts. Prosecutors say Michelle Carter played a sick game of life and death with Conrad Roy III. They say she texted Roy and urged him to follow through with his threats to take his own life. Carter's accused of convincing Roy to get back in his truck as it filled with carbon monoxide in 2014. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, and you know what that sound is? That's the sound of Modern Design. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rich Kaderi with a new episode of Modern Design. I have a lot of help today with me. In studio, I have somebody who's going to be helping me in the next few episodes and maybe beyond that. His name is Jesse Chen. He's going to intern with me. Hi, Jesse. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. And also, I have on the line an expert. As I've been telling you, we're going to have somebody speak on Rutgers Landscaping. We'll see if we get her up on mic. Her name is Joanne Goodman, and she's with Rutgers Landscaping. She's going to tell us all we need to know. Joanne, do I have you on the line?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon. Okay, we're going to start by taking a look at today's weather and the next couple of days' weather, and then we'll get right into our show. According to the National Weather Service, it's currently overcast with 65 degrees. This afternoon will be partly sunny with a high of 68 degrees. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy, then patchy fog with a low of 48. On Thursday, patchy fog, then mostly sunny with a high of 75. On Thursday night, there is a slight chance of thunderstorms, about 20%, and then slight showers with a low of 50 degrees. On Friday, again, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, but with a high of 80. That's better than it's been, hasn't it? Isn't it, Joanne? On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 81. On Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of 61. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a sunny day this Sunday. We haven't had too many sunny days. With a high of 87 degrees, much more like June, don't you think?
Much better.
Yes, much better. Okay, terrific. Well, welcome to Modern Design. We've been doing the show here for about 3 years. We're in our new time slot in our wonderful new location in the Large House, 119 Main Street in Flemington, New Jersey. So are we part of a two-part series, which we started last week, called Keeping the Deer Out of the Garden. And I went to a couple of wonderful sources, and we talked about more plants than we ever had before. It was probably one of the best and most definitive lists that I had gotten, which was actually from the Farmer's Almanac, and then a gentleman, Bruce, I think it was Cutler, resubmitted that information with some more information and gave us 86 plants, perennials, annuals, and so on, herbs, that you could plant that the deer were pretty much going to avoid. So I'm going to go to the expert, and that is you, Joanne. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how'd you get involved in this sort of planting?
Well, I've been with Rutgers Landscape and Nursery for a little over 2 decades. I first met the owner, Jim Brophy, when I was in college and working for Rutgers University. I was working integrated pest management with Don Prostack and working with local farmers in the entomology division, helping them to reduce damage from pests in farmers' fields, specifically corn as the crop.
Wow.
But I started working with Jim when I was in college, and I've just been very passionate about plants and people and have continued to grow with this company and have done a variety of things. I'm currently a garden coach, and I guess I could say that I'm a bit of a plant nerd, but I really enjoy working with people and putting together beautiful places and spaces for them to enjoy at their homes, and we predominantly do residential, so that's a very good fit for me.
That's wonderful. I guess you're a plant nerd, I'm a design nerd, and welcome to the club, because I love all the knowledge that you share with us, and we're very lucky to have that. I wanted to talk a little bit about Rutgers itself, because I think the whole concept of Rutgers Landscape, the way it's presented, the building, the layout, it's actually physically stunning, and it's so different than a lot of the other resources that I go to and that my listeners go to for plants. So could you sort of, you know, we are going to video, and probably now by July we're going to be on YouTube, and we're going to have cameras here, and there's a possibility it's going to go to local cable, which is kind of nice, and then I can sort of maybe do a remote and go out and show the place. Can you talk a little bit about the concept of what they've created there? Because it's really something unique and very special.
Well, when I first started working with Jim, he had created the old nursery to be used as a show place for his landscape customers to see what he could create for them. I was one of five people at that time working with Jim, and he had the vision of creating a beautiful nursery and make it like no other nursery in the area. And 7 years ago, he built Rutgers Nursery on Route 202 North and basically fulfilled that dream. It is absolutely everything and more that he talked about doing.
Right.
And here we are a little different in the sense that although we have a lot of new people, we are a teaching nursery. We like to educate our customers and make sure that we get the right plant to the right place, and just really get to know our customers and our properties that we're working on. And we have some wonderful people that form relationships with people, and we get to know our clients and really work hard to make sure that we meet and exceed their expectations and their needs at their homes.
And I will say there's a lot of knowledge there. I did come in because I do some planting, some projects for clients, some of which are commercial, and I'm currently working on a restaurant in New Providence, New Jersey, and I was going to do their pots. And I came in, and Chris A. met me there, and he said, no, do this, do that, and so on. And I was able to leave there with wonderful, beautiful pots, which you do carry, and then also wonderful plantings that I know that I could be comfortable with. Not only did I find aesthetically attractive, I know that they, when they were planted later that day, those are things that are going to last them through the season. So there's I think, a wealth of knowledge there. I've never gone in and somebody didn't know what they were talking about. There's must be a lot of training behind the scenes, because there's a lot of knowledge there.
A lot of training involved, and we pride ourselves in having professional staff that are well versed in the industry, and also people who really care about what they're doing. Beth, for example, is our container garden specialist, and she specializes in just doing containers.
Right.
We have a fit for just about every kind of niche in this business with certain people, and we like to try to find out what each person's talents are, and we put them in the right place again so that we can really, again, make sure that we cater to all sorts of requests and needs, whether it be potted plants, whether it be a landscape design, whether it be a pool, whether it be just, you know, an herb garden. We have people here that are specializing in different things, and we try to make sure that we put those people in the right place and connect them with the right people so that they get the best advice.
And really, that's very, very much true. I mean, your processes are there, very professional. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back. If you stay with us, we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design right after these messages.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective. And you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. And with me on the line, I do have Joanne Goodman of Rutgers Nursery, who has a wealth of knowledge and is teaching us all about plantings. Our topic today happens to be keeping the deer out of the garden. But before we actually get to the deer in the garden or not in the garden, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the scope of what you people at Rutgers do. As you say, there's a lot of specialties. I've come to Rutgers several times because I do staging for realtors, and several times the guys have come out and just sort of redid the existing beds, worked with the base plantings, remulched, and cleaned up. And so, you know, for most people, taking on a landscape project could be kind of daunting, but it doesn't have to be this tremendous project. It can be something where professionals come in and just give you some help and sort of you can stage how much you're going to do. Isn't that in fact the case?
Yes, it is. Indeed. We always joke, let us take care of everything, but we have everything from a do-it-yourselfer program where you can bring in photographs and measurements and a wish list, and we can custom tailor something based on those measurements and photos and wish list. And then we also have a professional design team who does design build, and they do walls, walkways, patios, lighting, poolscapes, just about anything you can think of in the hardscaping division, as well as driveways. And then we also have our nursery department where, again, you can come in and purchase things retail. And we also have a designer in-house, Dave, who does visits to people's homes and can do scale drawn designs. He's a degree designer in environmental design and just a wide variety. My job, Garden Coach, is something I created a few years ago with my background in entomology and landscape. I was often asked when working inside the nursery, when we first started this new nursery on 202, if I could come to their house. And a lot of times I would have to say no, that's something that a designer would do.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did was created a program where I could come out in one-hour intervals and help people figure out what needs to be done, whether it's the climate, the environment has changed, perhaps a shade tree has fallen down in a local a recent storm,
right,
and now something that was normally shady has become sunny. We can often take a look at what's in those gardens and then relocate them and add and make that a really great space again, even though the conditions have changed, perhaps even overnight. A lot of times people are moving into newer homes,
mm-hmm,
new to them, but has older landscaping, and they're not quite sure what everything is. So I will go in and identify and point out to them what is worth keeping and then modify based on their taste to make it their own.
You know, that's just invaluable. There's something that I do in design. It's called a Fresh Eyes, and I offer it to the public where I'll go out to their house, just similar like you do, just for an hour's time, and I'll give them I'll take pictures of every room in the house, and then I will make my notes, and then I will give them a digital receipt with all my suggestions, and then we can go further, and I can carry those things out. But they can do some of those things themselves. But I think it's very important in your garden, especially you're going to a new environment, or perhaps you just maybe have done things maybe not as as well as you could have, is to have the professional give you the base. I think you have to start with a plan because, you know, it can get quite expensive. How many of us have gone out there and bought wonderful plants and spent thousands of dollars on trees, and then, you know, they don't survive, or we planted a tree too close to the house, or we did some sort of some damage because we didn't plant it. We had something that was invasive. I had a client in Tewksbury Township 8 years ago, went and planted bamboo. Not a good idea. So, you know, it's so important to go to a professional. Anybody can go to a box store and you know, and buy shrubs and put them in, or have somebody put them in. But you really want to have longevity. You want to build a plan, because if you're going to be in a house for a long time, that doesn't stay static. That continues to grow and change all the time. So you want to make the right choices, because in the end, it will save you money.
Absolutely. We like to say that our business is very fluid and it's forever changing. And basically, again, we like to be those fresh eyes like yourself. And
sure.
We'll come in and often identify something of value that somebody just didn't see. It might be buried under overgrown shrubs or, you know, perhaps just not looking its best at the time that they're looking at it, but not realizing the value and how that you can keep that centerpiece and build around it. So
yeah,
we like to go in and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, but really just take what is worthwhile keeping and then build around those plants, because it takes so much time to grow those plants to the size that they are. And
sure.
It costs a lot of money to remove them, and many times they don't need to be removed, but homeowners are unaware of the value or the what they could do with it had it been left and built around it.
You know, Joanne, you're really spot on with that. Most of the homes I've lived in, I've built because, you know, that's what I do. My dad was a residential builder, and we built a number of homes. But the home I'm most recently in, and the longest so far, is a house that someone else had built. And the original couple that bought the house, she was really a gardener. And when I went into the space, I should have called you, there were many things when I went in that I didn't sort of see because of the time of year that I went in and didn't appreciate. And I learned a lot about plantings because of what this woman had planted. One of the things that she had planted was a very big surprise to me, something I knew nothing about, and it was called witch hazel tree. And the reason I knew I had a witch hazel tree was it was February, and I have a beautiful sunroom on the one side of my house, and it happens to be heated, so I was able to go out there, and I sat out there with my cup of coffee, and I saw in the snow these orange blossoms, and I thought, what the heck is that? It's February. And in February, in the snow, this plant that I had never heard of, it's that sort of clear stuff that you have in your medicine cabinet, right, when you're a kid. This witch hazel tree gave me beautiful orange blossoms. So tell us about witch hazel, because I don't think too many people know about it.
Well, it sounds like you might have had a Gelina, which is an orange flower.
Okay.
Witch hazel, or Hamelius, is a fantastic plant that's used for medicinal purposes.
Right.
It's a deciduous flowering shrub, which blooms just before spring, usually late February.
Right.
Has a really kind of cool, dangling, spider-like, light, airy flower.
It's not a flower per se, like you say. It's you expressed exactly what it is. It's sort of like sort of light and airy. It's not like a flower.
No, it's not a flower with petals per se. It's
right.
Really got kind of more of a spider-like kind of appearance, right. And it dangles from the tips of the plant. But with witch hazel, it's got really a four-season beauty, in my opinion. Although it's a deciduous tree and it is bare in the winter months, before winter comes, it has amazing fall foliage, and it will take a wide variety of conditions. It's on the deer-resistant plant list as well, and it's not prone to a lot of pests or diseases.
Right.
It also gets a very interesting seed pod, which is held on its branches throughout the winter. So it really, between the spring blooms in February, the green leaves and lush foliage, which will take, again, full sun to part sun, they get up to 15 to 20 foot tall and equally as wide, so it can be considered a very large shrub or a small tree. There are dwarf varieties and many different colors, including red, yellow, and the orange, the Gelina. I think there's Arnold's Promise, and I believe we have another one. I can't remember the name of the red one, but they're fantastic plants, and they're highly sought for difficult sites and for screening. And they'll also take a little bit of wet.
Yeah, I couldn't ask more of this. Unfortunately, last year, a very large tree came down and took out my portico and two of my air conditioning compressors, and unfortunately, it took down my witch hazel tree. But, you know, 6 months later, in the ashes of the tree is a new tree forming in the center.
Oh, yes. It will come back.
Yeah.
If you head off a plant, many times people think, oh, I'll cut the tree to the ground and that will kill it. What they don't realize is the plant has a very large root system with a lot of stored energy and the potential to regrow from just the roots themselves.
Right.
So, yes, it's wonderful that it came back. And it usually comes back with a vengeance because it's got this super strong root system with a lot of energy stored and nothing to support.
Right.
So it will grow like gangbusters.
Oh, I'm so excited. It just was, it was one of the things that I would have never found on my own. That's why they need people like you, you know, they need to go to people like you, Joanne, that could bring things that they probably and I had never heard of. Now, another plant I want to discuss with you, and I'm limiting our conversation today to deer-resistant plants. And I will say the word deer-resistant because I think we both realize that there's nothing that's pretty, except maybe Narcissus bulbs or things that are probably toxic to deer. There's not too much that if they're hungry that they won't eat. Isn't that sort of true?
There is no such thing as a deer-proof plant. I have seen deer browse spruce, which is one of the least browsed trees in North America.
Right, because
the deer, the white-tailed deer.
Right.
Nothing is deer-proof. Deer-resistant at best, and usually it's because of the fragrance, strong flowers or strong scented foliage. It
right.
could be the texture, which is usually kind of fuzzy and hairy. They don't like that. They also don't like anything with a spiny foliage, like spruces, which are very coarse needles, because when they put their snout up to tear, because they're not delicate eaters, they have just front, top and bottom teeth where they will grab and then pull and tear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's how they feed, because they're meant to be grazers.
Mm.
They do a lot of damage just tasting, so if you can get something that's highly fragrant or has a strong fragrance, or replicate that by using different types of deterrents with fragrance, you can often avoid deer damage to your plant material.
So let's talk about some other plants that I know of, and then I want you to come up with what you like and what works well in our zone. The other couple of plants that I was not so familiar with before I moved into this house that I find that work well for me year after year is the next one was Helleborus, or I'm not pronouncing
Lenten
that right.
Rose.
Lenten roses, also an early bloomer, beautiful color. Mine range from green, which my favorite color of a flower is green. They range from a beautiful green, which I usually cut and put out on my St. Patrick's Day table because I have these great blooms from the yard that are green, to sort of a hybrid of green and pink, to a pink, to sort of a dark rose color. And I've seen them in many other colors as well. Let's talk a little bit about that. Am I, in fact, right that that's a pretty good plant for being deer resistant?
Absolutely. Helleborus is an evergreen, and it persists through the entire season. It will get about 18 to 24 inches tall and equally as wide, but it's one of the most deer resistant plants that I can use for a border plant that's evergreen, flowering, and again, a four-season plant.
Right.
They come in a variety of colors, as you had indicated, and I've even seen them with what they call a black flower. It's just a very, very deep, rich purple, which is what I grow up in my home.
Right.
It is one of my favorites, and I always enjoy it around, you know, February, March when it's blooming. I bring in some of the cuttings because it's one of the first things to start to show some flowering.
Sure. Another plant that I've had success with, because I hear that they're toxic to deer, is digitalis or foxglove. And, in fact, do they sort of have an innate sense that this could hurt them?
I think deer are genetically programmed.
Okay.
And, a lot of the repellents are based on that. They often use coyote urine in repellents because genetically something triggers the scent, triggers something in their minds that makes them fear it. And I do believe that they are kind of predisposed to not like certain things.
Isn't that interesting? Same thing falls true to, I would say, the Narcissus bulb. I should be very specific. I mean, daffodils. But from what I've read, that the Narcissus bulb is also toxic to them. So, I mean, I have fields. That's the only thing that I can grow. Every year I buy, you know, a sack of the 100, you know, bulbs daffodils and plant and plant and plant and plant. Each year it's gotten better and better. They just walk through them and will eat something around it.
Yeah, the moms usually teach the babies what to eat. And mm-hmm. I find that deer are creatures of habit by nature. They tend to take the same path every day. And the moms usually teach the babies what to eat. So, and the herds can change their taste just as humans can change their taste. Mm-hmm. Some deer will try something where others will just not at all. And I think it has a lot to do with what they're taught to eat as young deer, young bucks, and young does.
Mm. I'll give you one more that's mine, and then I want to turn it over to the real professional to tell us what she recommends, what you recommend in our zone, is that buddleia or butterfly bush, which I brought in myself. I did some research. I had a lot of failures. And I said, I have a big yellow clabbered colonial, and I like to bring in purples and grays and sort of contrasting cool colors against the color of my house. So I bought some very relatively small buddleia plants in purple. And within the first year, they became so tall and large. And from, the second to third week in July until Labor Day, my backyard was filled with the most beautiful butterflies. Butterflies that I didn't know that could be black or aqua, and you know, it made my backyard fantastic. It was so beautiful. Even the first year, my neighbor videotaped the butterflies. It was just unbelievable.
Well, I think again, there are a lot of different types of resistant plants and perennials.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly like to use natives. I find that natives just work very well. And the deer tend to avoid them for some reason or another. And they tend to be an easier plant to take care of because they belong in our zone, our temperature zone, as well as our climate and our soil composition. So some of the things that I like are Itea, which is a beautiful low-growing shrub that gets up to 4 to 5 foot tall and equally as wide. There are some dwarf varieties. A variety called Merlot, and the reason they call it Merlot is it's the green foliage in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a kind of a white tendril flower, and then it's quite fragrant. And then in the fall, it gets this beautiful Merlot purple of the foliage, and it's just a stunning addition and very, very deer-resistant, as well as a wonderful North American native.
Joanne, if I can interrupt for a second, I just have a question. Do you suggest, the one thing that I see when I go into a house to stage it or a new someone that's purchased a house, a resale, is often we're taking trees out because people make the mistake of planting trees too close to the house. Do you recommend often for base plantings around a house that you use dwarf varieties so you have more of control of the size of the plant?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people just don't anticipate how large some of these plants will get. They see a nice little plant in the nursery and they bring it home and they want to give it, you know, everything that would be best for it. But what they fail to do, the most important thing, is give it space to grow.
Sure.
A lot of times I'll do installations and there's a lot of space between the foundation and the plantings themselves. And people will say, well, Joanne, you know, there's spaces here, here, and here. And I say, yes, and those spaces have already been assigned to a plant.
Exactly.
And they're there for a reason.
So right.
Let's give it 5 years and see how much space is left.
Right.
And if you still feel the same about that space, we can always add something, but to take something away is kind of a waste. So I often will caution people about planting too many.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing is saying less is more.
Right. No, I absolutely agree. There should be voids in a garden, and people have to understand that it's very quickly you blink your eyes and these plants are bigger. I plant as an annual every year. I can't think of the name of it. It's a sort of a blue-purple flower that's kind of fuzzy. It doesn't look like much when you're in the garden center, but
Ageratum.
To me, that is the miracle flower. I brought it home one year, and I thought, what the heck did I put in my cart? Boy, is this thing ugly. It's not even a flower. It's like a little bristly nothing. They are the best annual I ever had in my life. I put them in, I swear this year, I put them in the pots, and 3 days later with the rain, they were bigger. And they grew so fast. They look wonderful when you pair them with nice greens. They're fantastic. I can't speak enough about them.
Yeah, I think it's, I often tell my clients, don't look at each individual plant when doing a garden. You need to consider how each plant will play upon each other.
Right.
And the different times of blooms, and additionally, the sizes and how they will layer and complement one another. That is really good gardening.
Sure.
And knowing how to juxtapose some plantings as well as place and space the plantings, because we don't want the plants to ever kind of crowd each other and compete with each other, and then you have to prune them really hard to keep them in their space. A plant should be allowed to grow to its full potential and have the space around it without having to prune excessive amounts off at any given time.
I agree, and I would imagine in your job that's sort of difficult to explain to people that, you know, when I did my pots, I put four in each, and as I did them with a spike in the middle, I thought to myself, boy, these pots look empty, but I have learned from time exactly what you said. Just let them do their thing. Don't crowd them. They will be big before you know it, and sure enough, that's already happening.
Expression here at the nursery: the first year it sleeps, the second year it creeps, the third year it leaps.
Wow.
The smaller the plant, the faster it sleeps, creeps, and leaps. And if you can take a look at a plant and then get a sense of how large that plant is going to grow, and if it is not a dwarf, make sure you leave that room for the plant. Your landscaping should last at least 20 years for just a foundation planting.
Right.
The trees should be really for longevity. I always joke that I always see trees planted sometimes too close in residential neighborhoods, and I think, now who thought of that?
Right.
What idea was that? And I don't ever want to be that person who I drive by and say, wow, who thought
mistake
of that?
Mistake, no, for sure. So, Joanne, let's stay on that. For base plantings, let's say you have a house where everything's taken out, or maybe new construction, what would be a good foundation planting deer resistant?
An excellent foundation plant for deer resistance is boxwood.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
A lot of people don't like boxwood because they think of really structured, topiary, heavily sheared plants. But what a lot of people don't realize that boxwood is a very interesting plant if you allow it to be itself without shearing it.
Sure.
And if you get dwarf boxwoods, they are an excellent evergreen. Many of them will change color, like Korean boxwoods will go from a green in the summer, and then their foliage, even though it's an evergreen, will get a burgundy cast to it for the winter months.
Wow, that's interesting.
So there's a lot of different types of hybrid boxwoods that incorporate different types of American or English or Korean boxwoods, and you get some pretty interesting foliages from those varieties that they're hybridizing. But the ones we like the most are typically winter green, winter gem. We use English boxwoods. We use Vardar Valley, which is my personal favorite. It only gets 2 foot high, but 3 to 4 foot wide. It all depends, again, on the application and what you're doing with it and where it's going.
I've been seeing a plant recently that I did want to talk about today. Maybe you can let me know what it is. It looks like a boxwood, but instead of being wide, it looks like almost like branches of boxwoods that get tall. And I was recently at a very elegant restaurant, and out front in these tremendous pots, that was the center of the pot. It was a big container, a huge container, and the center was something that looked like a boxwood that's sort of very tall and straight. And I've been seeing that planting that looks like a boxwood that's sort of tall and straight, like branches. Is that something else, or is that a variety of boxwood?
Well, it could be two things in my thoughts. It could be a columnar boxwood, and we do have columnar boxwoods, and we use them as sentinel pieces or to flank an entrance, or sometimes to soften a corner where there's something unsightly like utilities or a gutter drain, perhaps. So that is often used in containers as well as a thriller, because mm-hmm. in our plants and our planters, we use the terms, you have a thriller for the center, a filler for the middle, and a spiller over the edge. But columnar boxwood is often used as a really narrow growing, up to 3 foot wide, and usually anywhere from 6 to 9 foot tall.
Right.
But there's also a columnar sky pencil holly, which mimics boxwood.
Okay.
It has a very similar leaf structure, but if you look very closely at the tips of the leaves, it's finely serrated. And that's how you can tell the difference of whether it's a boxwood or a
holly.
Now, I've read that actually that holly, which you would think would be very much deer resistant because of the sharpness of it, would be deer resistant. But I didn't do well with holly. They ate it, especially younger holly. What's the verdict on keeping the deer out of the garden with working with holly, especially yellow-berried holly I love?
Yeah, the smooth-leaf hollies are not that great with the deer. And again, deer will really start looking in our gardens when food gets scarce. Typically, again, deer are grazing animals, and they do prefer to eat the lawn. But when the lawn is covered by snow, they start searching for anything out of desperation that is green. So smooth-leaf hollies are very susceptible to deer browsing.
Yeah.
So I would recommend netting them or spraying them if you have a heavy deer path where they're placed, or if you're worried about losing their foliage. The definition of deer resistant, I was told, is if the deer eat it, it will grow back.
Wow.
Which, again, most people aren't too happy about that when the deer strip their holly and their evergreens are just sticks in front of their house. But the good news is that it will come back if left to flush back out again in the spring and come back to its former glory.
Joanne, we have to take a quick commercial message. Can I ask you to hang just for a little bit longer with us? A couple last questions. And
of course.
Okay. We'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design right after these messages.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. We do our show here live in studio in beautiful downtown Flemington every Wednesday from 2 to 3. And I do have in studio with me my new intern. His name is Jesse. I'm getting the sort of high sign, I think. He's not sleeping, so I guess the show is somewhat interesting. He's a sports guy, so we got to get him into plants. Anyway, I do have, as my guest today, the utmost authority on plantings, and I'm writing down everything that she's telling me because a lot of good information here, folks. Her name is Joanne Goodman, and Joanne is on the line with us, I think, still. Okay, great. And we are talking about plantings and picking your brain for your expertise and your wonderful ideas. And, you know, we were talking about holly before we broke for commercials. But let's get some ones that are sort of tried and true for our zone, deer resistant. What would you say is sort of a go-to plant for you?
Yeah, if you are going to plant a holly and you need something, the most deer resistant is Dragon Lady Holly. She has very, very spiny, coarse foliage,
okay,
which really, again, is one of the things that deterred deers is the coarseness of foliage.
Because of how uncomfortable it is on their snout.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, they get up close to it and they just back away from it because it's really not something that is very hospitable to them. But you can spray holly, but again, it's time consuming. So I just tell people to just plant deer resistant plants. We also have something called an Ilex winter, inkberry holly, which is the native holly, and that is the most deer resistant of the smooth leaf hollies.
Mm.
And again, it gets a nice burgundy cast to its foliage throughout the winter months and can get a good size, up to 6 foot tall and, you know, 4 to 6 foot wide if you let it grow to its full potential.
Joanne, do you think that people are finally becoming a little bit more accepting of foliage as sort of being flowers themselves as opposed to plants that just had flowers? I think people are, I'm starting to see that people are more open to something that may not have a lot of flowers or a big heavy, produce very heavy flowers, but has wonderful foliage that changes with the season and in itself could be its own beauty.
I would say that that is more of a trend than before. People used to say, I just want color, I just want flowers. But with flowers, there's often deadheading and removal of the spent blooms in order to get those plants to re-bloom.
Right.
And I'm all about foliage.
Right.
All about form.
Right.
And fragrance. Those are some of my favorite things about plants. And having year-round interest in the garden and being able to complement other plants around it.
Sure.
Based on timing of blooms. Blooms are very short-lived, so to further back that up, something can bloom for a couple of weeks and then you're left with this plant. So if it has wonderful foliage, it will carry that plant through and carry that garden beauty a little bit longer than if something was just all about flowers.
That's true. I remember growing up, my parents had azaleas and rhododendrons, very 1970s as base plants. And we had that, I would say a week, but maybe even I'm being generous with that. We'll have 1 week where we had absolute beauty with this sort of dark coral red and white. And then for the rest of the year, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
So what are some other, plants that you really love that are go-to deer resistant?
My absolute favorite, and most of the people at the nursery will tell you, is leadwort or plumbago, which is not always the easiest plant to grow, but once you get it established, it's fantastic.
Okay.
It's a low-growing ground cover perennial, which gets electric blue flowers from June to frost.
Mm.
It gets a very beautiful red foliage throughout the fall, and it will persist for quite some time. It's extremely deer resistant and will take a variety of conditions, sun to part shade. One other is Nikko Deutzia. It is not a native, but Nikko Deutzia is one of the most deer resistant shrubs. And again, it gets about 2 foot tall and about 4 to 5 foot wide. And it has a beautiful white trumpet shaped flower that starts in April and is still blooming now.
Wow.
Has a green serrated leaf that will get a beautiful, again, dark burgundy foliage and will persist well into the end of October, early November, and then will be just, you know, it's bare in the winter, but it's such a wonderful plant and such a good performer and a tough plant that I almost always include it whenever I'm using something as a mass with white flowers and looking for good fall color.
You know, in listening to you, Joanne, everything you say is so well thought out and so mindful. And when you're picking plants, I see that you're very much considering the four seasons and how the plant will transition and having seasonal color. I have a neighbor who's a fantastic gardener, and she should be on the garden tour. And she told me she only buys perennials. She never buys annuals. She always buys perennials. And she says if you really know what you're doing, somebody like yourself that really knows what they're doing, you can time your garden so you always have something going.
Absolutely. That is correct.
Mm.
And that's why hiring a professional who understands plant material, the times of blooms, and the habits of plants is essential. And you can learn a lot from just doing it yourself. But if you want to get some instant gratification, it's always wise to consult with a true professional, because they will know that. They won't have to consult books. They won't
have to consult reference.
They can just, they could say to you 3 o'clock in the morning if you called them.
Well, you know what it is? You can just tell. You have, I mean, I have a feel for design. You have a feel for plants. You just sort of know it. And you probably, when you go to a property, you can sort of just get a sense of what's going to do well, don't you think?
Yeah, you can often look around and see what is doing well and mimic that. You know, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But, again, as long as you understand the environment and what the person is trying to achieve and how much maintenance they do or do not wish to have, you can, again, custom tailor that landscaping or that look for each individual property and each client, depending on, again, what they're willing and wanting to do.
Sure. And then finally, Joanne, you've been so generous with your time. I wanted to talk about trends. There's some certain things that I see in plantings that sort of kind of coexist with what's happening with decorating. And in decorating, things are getting a lot cleaner and a lot simpler. And I kind of see that in some of the landscapes of some of the homes that I work on. I'm wondering what's trending. Our listeners are always hungry, and the social media that I do for the show and that the station does for me for the show, we're always hungry, the listeners are always hungry of what's trending as far as plants.
Well, I see a lot of interest in natives. A lot of people are looking to help the monarch butterflies, and a lot of people are trying to help the native honeybees, which have both had a huge decline in populations over the last decade. Due to pesticides and overuse of different types of chemicals and fertilizers in lawns, we have taken away a lot of the food sources for these insects, which are critical to pollination and farming and agriculture.
Sure.
So I find a lot of people are asking for natives and things that would be friendly to all of our pollinators, which are the bees and the butterflies and, of course, birds. So native plants, things that provide habitat, things that provide food, things that provide interest, and things that are low maintenance. And again, natives fall under all of those categories.
Categories, right. Wonderful. Joanne, you've been so, again, generous with us and give us a wealth of knowledge. If you could give us the information again of where Rutgers is located, the phone number, and the website, because it really is an experience. There's even a wonderful cafe called, I think, the Good Roots Cafe?
Yes, we do. We have a beautiful cafe, and we have a lot of different events. We have story time every Thursday morning for children.
Wow.
Where moms can bring their kids in, and we have stories that are read. We have a lot of different types of events coming up in the near future with a pet adoption coming up on June 17th, and that's with the Animal Alliance. We're also doing a tea blending workshop this Saturday, June 10th, from 11:30 to 1:30 with our wonderful Toby, who runs our cafe.
Mm-hmm.
We also are doing yoga on Sundays, June through Labor Day weekend, from 8 to 9:30. We're doing a Sunrise Sunday Yoga, and then Story Time on Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30, rain or shine.
It's amazing. It really is. That's just an experience. It's nothing like it. We don't have that many resources. We have natural beauty in Hunterdon County, but we don't have all these wonderful resources. And that's becoming a spot to me. What you guys have created is it's own entertainment. It's own entity.
Yes.
It is just wonderful. And, Joanne, the website once more for Rutgers?
We're located at 1051 U.S. Highway 202 in Ringgoes, New Jersey. And our website is www.rutgers, L like landscape, N like nursery.com. And we have a wonderful website with something called Plant Finder. So if you're kind of confused and you need to get some information and we're closed, you can go on our Plant Finder and put your criteria in to the Plant Fire program and what you're looking for, and it will put it all together and suggest plants that fit those criteria. But, of course, the best thing is just to come in with your photos or your questions and ask one of us here, and we'll be very happy to help you.
Joanne, you've been so good to me. For a background story here, I'm always scouting for our shows, and Joanne really extended herself to me in a very short period of time, and just you exceeded my expectations. And gave us so much information, and I really value what you've had to say and have written most of it down. So I'm looking forward to
stop in and see me sometime if you'd like. be very happy to meet you again. I think we met once before.
We did, but I'm going to come in and introduce myself again. You just really you really give us wonderful ideas, and I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And again, thank you for having me on the show. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we're going to take one or two more commercial messages, and I'm going to finish up our list of the 86 plants that you can plant in your garden after just these two commercial messages.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. It was wonderful to have Joanne. She had a lot of knowledge, didn't you think?
Yes, I actually learned a lot.
Yeah, it was really, I'm writing stuff down and taking notes. I think I'm going to go pick her brain after this is over. Anyway, our last week's show, this is part two of our series of Keeping Deer Out of the Garden, which is somewhat Hunterdon-centric, but I see deer popping up all over the place, especially in our state of New Jersey. So I'm going to go over some of the plants that I had started last week that are considered deer-resistant. And I'll see where we left off. And then I guess number 32 was Daphne, which is something I'm not familiar with. The next one is Bleeding Heart. And Bleeding Heart is a kind of a neat-looking plant. It's sort of an old-fashioned-looking plant. It can come in wonderful colors. It usually comes out around this time of year, so something to look at it. Number 34 is something that we talked about, and that's called Digitalis or Foxglove, a very pretty tall plant that has often pink flowers. And it is toxic to deer, so they don't go near it. 35 was one that we talked about. Joanne talked about wood fern. 36 was global thistle. 37 was bluebell. And then let's go down the list a little bit. I don't know if we're going to be able to get all of them in. Euphorbia, blue festivo, which I believe is a grass. Snowdrops, which go in the early part of the spring. Baby's breath, straw flower, hyssop, American holly. We talked about a lot of the hollies that the deer eat, but American holly and winterberry holly are supposed to be deer resistant. Irises. I've had a lot of success with irises. Lavender, juniper, alyssum, stolas, lemon balm, mint, daffodils, basil, ferns, peonies, poppies, that's one I'm going to definitely add. Poppies are beautiful. Russian sage, pine, potella, rosemary, rue, willows, common lilac, they're very good, thyme, yucca, and then finally, black-eyed Susans, something that I like a lot. Well, I thank you for listening to the show. We have a lot of new good things. Jesse's going to help me make the show better, I think. And we're going to be going to video soon, so I better get on the treadmill. Well, listen, I'm glad you enjoyed our program. We look forward to meeting you again live in studio next Wednesday. And until then, have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the Sunday. It's going to be nice and sunny. Take care. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I have never been directed to do anything I believe to be illegal, immoral, unethical, or inappropriate. I do not recall ever feeling pressured to do so.
NSA Director Michael Rogers testifying in front of Congress today that he felt absolutely no pressure on any investigations from President Trump. Intelligence officials have been testifying in front of a Senate hearing. The senators have been prying about private conversations, but Director of National Intelligence Dan Coates says addressing those issues in a public session would not be appropriate. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard blaming Saudi Arabia for the attack that killed 12 and injured dozens more in Tehran today. Gunmen were dressed up as women, and they opened fire inside the Iranian Parliament building, as well as a shrine to the Islamic Republic's revolutionary founder, the late Ayatollah Khomeini. Islamic terrorist group ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attacks. USA Radio News.
Hey, Mom. I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right, and it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
If you're as tired of the anti-Trump rhetoric and protests as I am, it's time to stand up and show your support for the 45th president. There's no better way to do that than to proudly wear your pro-Trump apparel. The best site to find high-quality merchandise is ProTrump45.com. You'll find all the most popular slogans on shirts, hats, hoodies, and more. Be an adorable deplorable and help make America great again. Go to ProTrump45.com. That's ProTrump45.com. Check it out now. ProTrump45.com.
One major health insurer pulling out of Ohio. Here's correspondent Mark Mayfield.
The move by health insurer Anthem effectively leaves 18 Ohio counties without an insurer selling plans in 2018. Anthem sells affordable health care plans known as Obamacare in 14 states. It's leaving open the possibility of further departures. Anthem says it based the decision on what it says is the continued volatility in the individual health plan market, as well as uncertainty that insurers will continue receiving financial reimbursements. Anthem said it also blames the restoration.